And we're back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and joining us now is Keith Bollander, the author of Cuba Under Siege. And also, Keith, you just published an article about, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
I just read a terrific article by you in Progreso Weekly.
That's correct, yeah.
ProgresoWeekly.us.
.com, I think. .com? There's an English version and a Spanish version of Progreso Weekly.
Well, I urge the listeners, look them both up. And you spoke directly to the matter at hand, which is what the expectations are, particularly on the U.S. side of this great occasion of the visit to Cuba by President Obama, the first president since
Calvin Coolidge, Calvin Coolidge, 80-some-odd years ago.
It came on a warship, apparently.
Yeah, which is appropriate at that time.
I'm glad I missed that one. But the gist of your article, as I got it, was that the Americans are somewhat inflated about themselves, and they expect Cuba, at least the general population, they think Cuba's going to fall at their feet and say, how do I become like you guys? And you don't think that's actually likely. You want to talk about
it? Yeah, it was interesting. It speaks to the historical relationship between Cuba and the United States, where the United States has always perceived Cuba needed to be saved or controlled or taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that led to the Americans controlling Cuba for more than 60 years. That attitude still persists to this day. So Obama's trip to Cuba, which I think is a very positive thing, still carries the baggage of American attitudes. And it's the 21st century where the Americans are going to come in and show the Cubans what modernity looks like, the technology, the
private enterprise,
the superior culture, the economic benefits, all for the purpose of empowering the Cuban people, and that's the phrase Obama has used since being in Havana, and bringing freedom to the Cuban people. The article I wrote was I think the Americans are going to learn a lot more from the Cubans than the Cubans will learn from the United States, because the majority of the Cubans I've met and talked to, they're very familiar with American culture,
of course,
American technology, what's good about American society, what's bad about American society, the economic component. It's the Americans who come down with these preconceived ideas that the Cubans don't even know what a cell phone is or what color TV is, and they're going to be in for a surprise. And I'm not just talking about Obama and his entourage, but any American citizen who's now able to go to Cuba a lot easier.
Well, by the way, even that, the Americans are being given credit for something that actually hasn't happened yet, right? I mean, it's still not you can't really do it without saying, may I, or being invited to lie. They say, for example, you can say you're going for educational purposes, and that can include just anything. But basically, they're encouraging a kind of hypocrisy or improper conduct. Why don't they just say, if you want to go, you can go, because you're an American, you're supposed to be free.
Yeah, that's one of the many hypocritical aspects of America's relationship with Cuba. And it's the travel restrictions that have always been one of the main foundations of the embargo, because the American government did not want American citizens to go to Cuba to see for themselves the reality, the good, the bad, the indifferent. So now Obama, to his credit, even this past week, he's eased those restrictions. So now an individual American can go to Cuba under these 12 licensing programs. And they're really easy. If you want to go down and study Cuban cigars, you just fill out a form. You go to the agency that has the licensing. You go down. And it's really easy.
Isn't it embarrassing for a great power that calls itself free? And by the way, you have to keep a record. Is it for 5 years? An American would have to keep a record of what they did. Who they saw and that kind of thing, and in case they're asked, and then the administration says we're not going to ask you, but keep a record.
Well, they're still officially Americans are still not allowed to go to Cuba as a tourist. I mean, they can't go to the beach. Now, my understanding is the American government is not going to be checking up nearly to the extent they did before. So it's much more flexible. But it is a hypocrisy because the Americans always complained to the Cuban government that the Cuban government was restricting travel for its citizens. And meanwhile, it was always the American government that prohibited its citizens from going to visit Cuba.
And by the way, weren't they also playing the thing of the visa business? So you can visit, but you have to get a visa from the U.S. And then they wouldn't give the visa.
Well, yeah, on the other side, yeah, Cubans who wanted to visit Cuba.
So all this thing about freedom,
right?
They were vetting who's going to leave Cuba to go to the U.S.
Well, that was for political reasons too. They wanted to maintain a tight control over the visas in order to encourage Cubans to travel to the United States illegally, leaving Cuba on the rafts. And that's all connected to the Cuban Adjustment Act, which gives the Cubans.
And a lot of people died doing that. Oh,
and they still are. There was a number of Cubans that were found at the sea. So the Americans are masters at controlling the message about Cuba, which has consistently been negative, but now hopefully it's changing if Americans are allowed to visit Cuba now and see for themselves.
All we need is an honest American with his own two eyes, hers, or to go and look around and ask questions and just try to be a person and not be bringing enlightenment. By the way,
exactly.
To be talking to the Cubans about what a democracy is, this is at a time when you have the Trump phenomena. And then you have super delegates who can negate elected delegates in, the major parties. And I wonder if Obama could ever manage to explain, because American people themselves never understood it, the Electoral College and the selection of the President of the United States, in which you could actually win the election and lose the election because of the Electoral
College. Yeah,
and you're going to tell them how to run a democracy.
Yeah, that's George Bush. He didn't get the most votes, but he became president of the United States.
And they had a Supreme Court that apparently in other countries, the U.S. thinks it ought to be overthrown. If a court makes a decision the U.S. doesn't like, they think that country needs to be overthrown.
And that's a large part of what Obama is doing in Cuba now. He's maintaining that perspective that the Cubans will learn from the American society and the American system, and that they'll see how much superior it is. And the Cubans are accepting the criticism and saying, that's fine. We have our system. You have your system. We have problems within our system. You have problems within your systems. Yeah. At least now we can start talking about our differences. And to me, it's a huge
positive. By the way, speaking of Americans going, the most interesting group of Americans who may be going, I just jumped into my mind, are Puerto Ricans. They are, they're the sort of the cousins of the Cubans, and they have their own problems with the amount of freedom that they are a colony or a type of colony.
Yeah, and
they've never been allowed to be a state.
They're restricted in voting
because they insist on speaking Spanish.
Yeah, the Puerto Ricans are restricted in the election process of the United States. They're almost bankrupt now because of the economic policies the American government has imposed on them.
And there's no let up in the pressure on them. So, the Cubans, by the way, this thing about who understands who or whom. Definitely the Cubans have the angle because, they know the Puerto Rican experience. And so, in other words, as Latins, and they know what awaits them if they get into, as they interact with the American system.
And there's an element within Cuban society that does look on the people of Puerto Rico and their history and say, well, you were sort of – you gave yourself up to the Americans where we've maintained the struggle against them. So there is a conflict within Cuba and Puerto Rico as well.
But speaking of a country that's rather, I think, subjectively unhappy, is Canadians are going to lose the corner – on being able to visit this wonderful place with no Americans, great beaches and no Americans, and now they're going to have to look at, here he comes again,
I know a number of Canadian tourists who go to Cuba on a regular basis, two or three times a year, who've said to me, well, if the Americans are coming, then I'm not going to go to Cuba anymore. And I said, well, there's plenty of room for both. Yeah. And the Americans are more than welcome to come if they're allowed to from their government.
Yeah, it's the absence. We've had this phenomenon. Europeans in various places around the world, when they bump into each other, it's kind of like, well, you know, the hunting is no good anymore. Now the Germans are here, and they do tend to move. So it isn't being talked about, but definitely Canadians are going to be impacted.
The other aspect is that the Canadians are worried that the cheap all-inclusive beach holiday to Cuba won't be quite as cheap as the demands on the tourist hotels increase with the influx of American tourists. And you're seeing that a little bit now because hotels in Havana are really hard to get up. Yeah. From now till months from now, they're all booked. It's not affecting the tourist resorts where the Canadians go to right now, but as more and more Americans come, you're going to see a price adjustment in the Canadian market. Our dollar isn't helping it as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the Canadian tourist market reacts to Cuba over the next 4 or 5 years.
Just at the moment when we're going all peso on ourselves, and this has to happen. We're speaking to Keith Bolander, who's written two great books about Cuba and U.S. relations. And of course, by the way, the first one focused on the damage done to Cubans by the terrorist campaigns which U.S. was involved with. Is the terrorism issue, just before the show, I was asked about this, that there are some Americans living in Cuba that the U.S. has on their wanted list. And by the way, their profile jumped up in the last 4 or 5 years. It's like there was something going on to focus on them. There was an African-American woman who I think she was with the Black Panthers or allegedly. But those who really suffered in their thousands were the Cubans. Is that off the table kind of stuff, or is that being part of these talks?
I've not heard either side mention that. The Americans certainly won't because they don't see what they've done to Cuba as terrorism.
Yeah, Fidel threatened them.
Though Luis Posada Carriles, who's still living in Miami, one of the masterminds of the Cuban Airlines bombing in 1976, the Cubans want him extradited. So I don't think the Cubans will bring that up either. It would be a little not politically correct.
I hope they agree not to go there because I've seen cynical commentary about it, which it really galls me that Cuban took in people who definitely had been mistreated and had no rights in the American system. Over the years,
well, the one African American woman who you referred to was accused of shooting and killing a policeman, and it was only in the last year and a half, 2 years that the Americans redesignated her not as a criminal but as a terrorist.
I'll have to hang up this.
So all of a sudden, for years and years and years, she was a criminal that the Americans wanted extradited back to the United States. But then they redesignated her as a terrorist, which has a totally different level of seriousness. So it's just – it was a trick.
Gamesmanship.
Absolutely arbitrary. Absolutely arbitrary. But then again, the Cubans were on the list of states that sponsor terrorism for years and years and years, and the Cubans completely objected to that because they were the victims of terrorism, not the perpetrators.
Absolutely. And my goodness, the economy, what it's gone through. And none of the basic laws, things brought into U.S. legislation to punish Cuba for – suffering from self-respect and refusing to take orders, those things remain in place. What we're dealing with here is basically the goodwill of the president and having to take his word because everything else is locked in, right?
Well, I think that's really important because the optics of the president meeting with Raul Castro is really positive. It's really a really good situation to see the two countries getting together, but it's behind the scenes. What effect does this have on the continued embargo? The Americans are still finding international banks for doing business in Cuba, the propaganda. All these regime change programs are still very much in place. Now, Obama has addressed –
including punishment of third parties, right?
Including Canadian companies.
A Canadian who's trying to do business and operates through a London bank or Paris bank, they say, no, you can't do that.
That's all in place. I mean, Obama can't end the embargo. It has to come through Congress. But there's many people who think the normalization process that Obama instituted with Cuba a year ago ago is simply a different way to affect regime change.
Yes.
Instead of giving the Cubans
creating the facts on the ground.
Yeah, they're giving Cuba the carrot instead of 50 years of giving them the stick. So my opinion is that's fine. The Cubans say, I'd rather deal with a friendly America without the embargo than the hostility we've had to deal with.
And no doubt there's a good number of Democrats, a good number of Republicans who'd like to have this thing behind them and have had to live with it. You know, in other words, pretend that they're angry with Cuba for electoral reasons.
Well, I think the most important aspect of the Obama trip, obviously, it's the visuals, the media coverage, but he's brought hundreds of American businessmen, including the president of Marriott Hotel, dozens of congressmen. It's those people that will have the chance to interact with the Cuban officials, the Cuban people, the Cuban businessmen, who will go back to the United States and probably have more of an impact than even Obama's visit. So it's the on the ground people, the American businessmen who want the embargo to end, the American politicians who will vote for the ending of the embargo. That to me is just as important as Obama and Raul shaking hands.
Actually, I don't know if I was reading your article, but again, I'll tell people this is Keith Bollender, and the article is who will learn the most from Obama's trip to Cuba, and it's Progresso Weekly, either .com or .us. I wrote .us, but at any rate, please look it up. Someone was pointing out that Obama had people in his own party who, because of defeats in congressional elections, they kind of lost influence, and he was willing to throw them overboard. They didn't want him to make the trip, but at least rhetorically they said don't do it.
Well, one in particular, strident.
Your argument.
A strident anti-Cuban, anti-revolutionary Menendez.
Menendez, yes.
Democrat. He was in a very powerful position. He lost that politically. So his voice, elimination of his voice was a huge.
They put him on mute.
Yeah. He's still shouting, but he has no political influence now.
There's a lot to smile about here. I like this.
Well, yeah. Marco Rubio losing Florida was a good thing, too.
Yeah, he may want to visit his relatives. He's very depressed. He could probably, you know, go back to see family there. This is Keith Bollender, and I got to ask, names are coming up and the issues that are sort of surprising. I never heard of this. There is apparently a great comedian named Panfilo.
Yes.
And he did a routine with Obama.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it. I've heard.
Who is it?
He's a very famous Cuban comedian who comments on Cuban society, the shortcomings there. So one of the other misses that no one can criticize the government without getting into trouble. He does it all the time, and he apparently has had a bit with Obama. I haven't seen it yet.
You can go on the internet. I saw the picture, and I thought, well, I better ask Keith before I look at this. And then there is this thing called baseball, that there's going to be a baseball game, right? Isn't Obama attending a game today or tomorrow in Cuba?
I think it's tomorrow.
The Tampa Bay team?
The Tampa Bay Rays playing an exhibition game against the Cuban national team at the main stadium in Havana. I believe it's tomorrow. Obama and Raul will be there cheering on their respective teams. And so that's how sports enters into this.
This is how you're going to reach the mass of the American public. It's on their minds.
They
really admire Cuban ballplayers.
Same with the Cubans. I mean, that's the national sport in Cuba. It's the national sport in the United States. And it's an excellent way to connect the two countries. Now, there's a number of Cuban players that have defected and gone to the States.
Yes.
But American baseball are looking at a way to integrate the Cuban players legally into a draft or into the system.
I had the impression you'd be the one who would know, but I was getting the impression that more and more they were winking at this process. Cuban ball players were turning up in the majors, and the majors were not playing they ran away from the communists. They stopped saying that.
Yeah.
They said, well, they got this Cuban guy and he's playing with these people.
Very much so, but it's still not a regulated process where
all up.
The draft or situation like that. So certain teams have advantages that others don't through access to the Cuban players. So the Major League Baseball wants to normalize that, which I support, and hopefully it'll happen.
Inevitably, there's somebody who's going to have to be talked about here. And I'm really surprised U.S. media and I sometimes think that there's a lot of discussions going on about the government and the media, how we want to play this, what to see happen, not happen. But I haven't seen in the first paragraph of any of their stories Fidel Castro. Because I know there is talk, but do you know whether Fidel is himself engaged with this? Do we know his status?
I haven't seen anything from the Cuban media, any reaction from Fidel that if he's happy, if he's hesitant or whatever.
Yeah, I'd love to see another one of his little blog pieces.
And I haven't seen anything like that. It was up front that it was indicated that President Obama would not meet Fidel. So that was established right from the start. But I haven't seen anything in the American media commenting about Fidel's reaction. I haven't seen anything in the Cuban media about that. So
they must have agreed to take it off the table as a subject.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Because Fidel is American politicians and actually world politicians have gone out of their way to beg it for a chance to talk to see this. Because it's like Bolivar.
Very much so.
This is the man in history.
And if Fidel wanted to make a comment, I'm sure he would. Yeah. So it's surprising that he hasn't yet.
He may. It could be. There's the old issue of this has been a lot about him. You know, from the U.S. side, he offended them, and it's kind of like, you know, he put mud on their shoes, and he has to clean that off, and he never did that.
And that's the political optics from the United States perspective. I think it would, you know, for Obama to meet with Fidel would be complicated. But the part I'm still surprised is that there's been no comment from nothing from the Cuban side. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
In the back of my mind, it's that maybe they'll slip that in. If somebody say, oh, and by the way, he went by this morning and talked to the guy.
That would be.
I think the Pope saw him.
Yes, yeah.
The Pope spoke to Fidel.
Well, and the president of Venezuela, Maduro, is in Cuba right now or has been at the same time. And my understanding is he met with Fidel too. So the American-Cuba relationship is completely different. So I'm sure this was all agreed to before the visit was accepted.
It has to be like a dance.
Oh, yeah.
And they allowed certain things, and the expected happened. There's something called the white – what is this thing? The women?
Ladies in white?
What is this phenomenon?
It's a – they're classified as dissidents in Cuba. They protest on a weekly basis against the Cuban government. The Cuban position is that these ladies have accepted financial and/or material aid from the American government, so it's an artificially created opposition. And in fact, they have been infiltrated by Cuban intelligence agents and have shown that they have accepted and supported Americans. So the Cuban position is.
By the way, the U.S. government does not allow that inside the U.S. If you come in and you have some money and you start wandering around, they will pick you up in 2 minutes.
Absolutely. If you are perceived to be an agent for a foreign power, that's illegal in the United States.
Not allowed. And every American understands it.
Yeah. And
they don't need a course.
The ladies, Damas de Blanca, they protested yesterday, and the Cuban police and officials came in and arrested them and took them away. And that was covered extensively in the United States media without context, which is standard operating procedure with the American media. Yes. They will criticize not just Cuba but criticize a foreign government or country without putting in context of what's really happening.
Yeah. I want to ask about you mentioned Maduro was there. He may even still be there. I do know he was there certainly a day before Obama arrived, and Maduro was there. Now – the U.S. is once again, people suspect, are starting to play hardball with Venezuela, with Argentina, and there's something going on in Brazil which looks very much like what they call a color revolution. And once you know, the president of the United States comes and sees you, the Americans think, well, now you're going to agree with him. As these countries get into difficulties and there's going to be some bitter talk about the involvement of the U.S. and there will be resolutions and votes, how do you feel about the Q Cuban position in the is it the Organization of American States and all that?
Yeah, I think the solidarity with the rest of Latin America is maintaining itself and increasing. And the reaction within Latin America to Obama's visit to Cuba was very positive. They all supported it in the process of real normalization. But yeah, there's some things happening in some Latin American countries, Brazil.
And Cubans must be watching that very closely.
They definitely are, because it could complicate their relationships.
Certainly, you know, in my mind, when I saw that Mr. Maduro was there, he is, you know, number one on the American list for removal. And so for him to be there sort of in just prior –
Yeah, that, and
one assumes the subject came up.
That can't be a coincidence either. And everything is politically oriented.
Cuba has been so important to the rest of South America. I mean, as a banner, it's like they're the ones. They're the guide on. So this has got to be, this is going to command a lot of close scrutiny.
It really is. Obama's trip, actually, I thought he would visit Cuba after his term in office was finished. So for him to come as a sitting president with the intent, and today at the press conference, he made it very clear that the embargo is going to end. He's completely confident, even though it's still in congressional hands, that this trip, this relationship has been established, that no matter who wins the next election, we all can hope who wins and who loses, yes, the process of normalization will not be stopped. And that's really the takeaway for this whole visit.
And by the way, isn't that a vote getter? I mean, the fact is, the American people seem to like this. So if you're going to be a Republican running against it, you're going to lose.
That's a vote getter in Florida. That's a vote getter within the Cuban American community.
The politician you just referred to,
Marco Rubio.
Rubio
He couldn't win his own state in the Republican.
It turns out the ace has turned into a joker,
because the majority of Latin Americans and even a majority of Cuban Americans now favor engagement, and Obama is right on the edge of that. And it's been really smart of him to be there.
We got Ken Boland and Bolander here, and I have to ask you: are you going to? This must present the challenge. You're thinking about another book about this matter?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You should get right on it.
I'm working on my third book about how American mainstream media has covered the Cuban Revolution, and how they've covered Obama's visit is definitely going to be a chapter in that book.
Absolutely. Keith Bolander, boy, it's great to see you, and we hope we can get you in here again soon, because there's going to be fallout from all this. And thank you very much. And you've been listening to Taylor Report. And Hanny and Charlotte, thank you very much. We'll see you.
No other genre of music has had such a profound impact on rock and roll like the blues has. A to Z Blues on CIUT.